Thank you. Well, God has definitely gone before, because what's happened this morning is basically what I'm going to talk about. So, so praise God. He is always good. I thought I would just have a little few minutes recap on what I spoke about last time I spoke, just to remind us a little bit about it. First of all, that Jesus taught us to approach God in three ways. First and foremost, he's our Father, and his arms are open, and he welcomes us, and he rejoices in us, and we can bring all our needs, our personal needs, to him, and it's before the throne of grace, and he answers our prayers, and he's full of goodness there. And he also taught us to approach him as our friend. He is our friend, isn't he? He's a friend. So that we can bring the needs of others, our friends, to our friend who is in heaven. So there's this whole way of intercession, really, where we come and we bring the needs of others to our friend in heaven. And then there is that third way where we appear before the courts of heaven, because we come before the judge of all the earth when we have those cases that are hard and difficult. And we need to come and seek God when nothing else is, when we've been to the throne of grace and just somehow things are sticking. So we come before the judge of all the earth, and there we ask him to issue a verdict against our adversary. And then we do whatever he tells us to do. And then there are some legal areas where the enemy can resist our prayers and the kingdom purposes that God has for us. And these come under sin, which emanate from the motives of our hearts. When our motives, God can see our motives. And we may be doing what appears to be right, but the motive is not pure. And so, and we looked at Job, remember? So, and then the other one was transgression, which is what we do, the actions that we might do when we cross that line of righteousness. And we choose, actually, because, you know, the whole thing is that the sin principle has been broken. In the hearts and lives of believers, we are no longer under the power of sin, because Jesus has delivered us. The blood of Jesus has broken the power of that sin nature. But does that mean we never sin? I'm afraid not. We do, don't we? But that is because we choose to sin. We don't have to sin. We actually have made a choice to sin. We are faced with a situation, and we cross over the line, and we choose to sin. But nevertheless, that is also covered by the blood of Jesus, and we confess our sins. And the other legal area where the enemy can resist our prayers is where there is iniquity in the bloodline. And that needs the help of the Holy Spirit of God to reveal to us what is in the bloodline. Perhaps our bloodline, perhaps someone else's bloodline. And there we need the prophetic word, we need the Holy Spirit of God, and we need to wait on him. We need to make sure our hearts are pure, that we're not coming with our own selfish ideas, soulish ideas, so that we can hear from Holy Spirit what he's talking about, the bloodline. And then again, we bring it before the throne of grace. We can confess it, and we can have it cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So that was the last thing that I spoke about. Now, today, I'm going to speak about books. Books. We love books, yeah? And in Revelation, it's in Daniel 7, 9 and 10. I might just go there quickly, because I can't remember it all together without reading it. It talks about when we come before, when it talks about the courtroom, actually, the heavenly courtroom, where it says, it talks about the judge of all the earth and it describes his purity and his holiness. Yeah, please, if you would.
I watched till Daniel chapter 7 from verse 9. Daniel 7 from verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and his hair, and the hair on his head was pure like wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened.
So it's set in a courtroom, and this is the judge of all the earth. And what I particularly want us to notice for today is that it says he was seated, and then the books, plural, were opened. Now, I've been in a courtroom a few times, not too many, but a few times, and not in the dock, you might be happy to know, no, but just as a visitor. And you know, when the people who are in the courtroom, when the judge comes in, everybody rises and stands as a mark of respect, and rightly so. So there is an awesomeness when the judge, the righteous judge of all the earth, I mean, this, when I think about the scripture we've just read, it's awesome, isn't it? There's just this, the judge coming in. Can you imagine? The judge of all the earth, the Father, the Creator, comes in and he takes his seat, and the court opens and the books are opened. Particularly, I wanted us to notice that word, books. Now, in Psalm 139, verse 16, it says this. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. Before I was born, before you were born, God had preordained who we were, what we would look like, how he put us together, who were our parents, what was our DNA, are we, you know, tall and are we short, are we, whatever we are, blue eyes, brown eyes, whatever it is, God had already put it in our book. And everything he put there, he had written it, take note, in a book. Even the days fashioned for me. And what I want us to realize, to note, is that as yet when there were none of them, before I was born, my days were set out in a book. God has written down in a book the destiny and kingdom purpose for each of us in our lives. Our individual book is a written record that God has planned for us and his kingdom and the kingdom impact that he has destined for our lives. So every person who is ever born has a book written about them. Let's have a look, see. Revelations 20, verse 12. Let's go there quick. Revelations 20, verse 12. Here we are. And it says, I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged or sentenced by what they had done, their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors, in accordance with what was recorded in the books. That's a bit awesome, isn't it? You got a book. Every single one of us, every person, a believer or not, has got a book written about them, recorded. What God... we'll go. Okay, every person has this book. Some people, of course, in the book, we know there's a book of life, but there's also other books. And in the book of life, all those who have accepted Jesus as Savior and gone his way, their names are written in the book of life. But some people, unfortunately, have their names blotted out of the book of life because they haven't aligned with what God has intended and called them to do, to be. In Psalm 40, 7 to 8, and that also lines up with Hebrews 10, 5 to 7, it talks about, it's Jesus prophesying about himself. And he says that he came and he wanted to fulfill the volume of the book that was written about him. So Jesus also has a book written about him. We know that his testimony is in the Word of God, in the Bible. But it said all that was written about him, he fulfilled it. And you know, in John, the Gospel of John, 1 John, John talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 it says, and he was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So Jesus was a word. I mean, he was more than a word, but that word, who he was made flesh. He was born, so the word was made flesh. He was born on the earth. And so what God has done, he has written in our books his kingdom purposes for each one of us before ever we were born. In fact, before the foundation of the world, they were written there, and God's desire is that we make flesh the words written about us in his book. So where do they come from? If we read Jeremiah 23:18, it says, "For who stood in the counsel of the Lord?" And that word Hebrew counsel is a word called sod, S-O-D, and it means in the intimate circle of familiar friends. They consulted together. So God has counsels in heaven for the purpose of what's going to happen on earth and for the purpose of the people on the earth. In Genesis 1:26, he says, "Let us make man in our image." So he held a consultation. And he said, "Let us decide, let us see how we are going to make man in our image." So there was this discussion from the Godhead about how we were going to be made. And also for the kingdom purposes of individuals, 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus." So with our purpose that is written in our books, God gives us grace to fulfill it. So it's not like it's a demand, you go and do it, but rather it's a work of God in us, the grace to do. So once decisions are made in heaven, then they must be, God desires for them to be seen on earth. Jesus spoke of this in the parable of the two sons. Remember the sons whom the father said to his two sons, "I want you to go into the vineyard and work for me." And one son said, yes, I'll go. No problem. But he didn't go. And the other said, "There's no way. I'm going to work in the vineyard. Just don't like it. Don't want to go there." But then after a while, he changed his mind and he went. So of the two sons, the one who initially said no, but changed his mind, did the will of the Father. And God is so gracious to us that though we may stumble and fall and have the ups and the downs as we do in our lives, he gives us opportunity after opportunity to do his will. He's not this harsh taskmaster, but a loving God who is for us. And remember that it says in Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you to will and to do to his good pleasure. So all the time, God is with us and changing us and guiding us and speaking to us. And his grace produces in those who will allow it an agreement with his will and pleasure. Now, of course, not everyone works out in their lives what God wants them to do and to be, or what is written in their book. We have a choice. We can seek God and ask him what is written in my book, or we can go our own way. We will still be saved. We have our salvation, but we don't have the fulfillment of our kingdom purpose. And God's desire, strong desire, is for each and every one of us to fulfill our kingdom purpose. Why? Because A, he created us to do that. So he's put within each believer all that is needed to fulfill their kingdom purpose. And when we stand before the judge of all the earth and the hereafter, it's not going to be so much about this sin or that sin that's going to perhaps reduce our reward, but it's really more, did you line up? Did you seek me about your kingdom purpose? And did you do my kingdom purpose? And I think that is of greater importance to God in our lives. In Romans 8, 29 and 30, it reveals a five-step process of how to identify and bring to pass what God wants. Now listen to this. I've read this so many times and I've never really seen it until recently. It says this: for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he also predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So there are five steps: foreknew, predestined, called, justified, glorified. So what do these mean? God, the foreknew is the foreknowledge that speaks of what occurred in the council of the Lord. Remember, the Godhead getting together and deciding who we are going to be, every individual. It blows your mind a bit, but that's what he did. And he wrote it in a book. And it includes not only individuals, it includes ministries, churches, towns, cities, nations. God has a kingdom purpose for all these areas on the earth. And they were written down, once they had decided, they were written in a book, it was predestined. It became this predestined thing. So when we talk about predestination, I've heard many sermons on this in times past. It's very much that we don't have a free will. But God says we do have a free will. So therefore, when he's talking about something being predestined, it's more that it's written in the book. This is what God wants, but you choose. You choose whether to follow that or not. We all can choose. And if we have a desire to press into God, then he will start to reveal to us. So the predestined is for us to discover what was set before the foundation of the world. These things were set in place before we were ever born, before the world was created. These things were set in place about us as individuals. And remember that Paul told Timothy that purpose and grace were given to them before time began. the purpose of their lives and the grace to do it. So when we discover our purpose, we will also discover the grace that has been given us to fulfill that purpose. Now, if we can boil this down to something a bit more nitty-gritty, it's whatever it is that you're good at, that's inside of your heart, that you're able to do, that God has gifted you with, is an indication of what is written in your book. So then we have the called stage, and it's when we start to get a glimpse of what we were made for. Now, Psalm 40, 6 to 8, this is really Jesus speaking about himself, and it gives us some understanding. It's also picked up in Hebrews 10, 5 to 7. This is Jesus saying, prophesying about himself. He said, "Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." So God is not unjust, is he? He's not demanding something that we are not able to do. So when it's connected to fulfilling what is in the book, we look into our own hearts. What's written there? What are our interests? What are our desires? What is the inner sense of vision that we have about ourselves? What is the longing that we want? And this is an indication of what is written in our book. Now, we've got to press in a bit more to God, but it's a strong indication of what the our God has already written in our books. You know, the Lord reminded me of something, and that is that we all have dreams, don't we? We have dreams of, especially when we were younger, we had these dreams of what our lives are going to look like and so on and so forth. And then when we became believers, we those dreams might have changed a bit, but they're still dreams of, oh, I just long to do this. I just long to see this. And the Lord said to me to tell all of us, and me as well, it's time to dream again. Start to dream. You know, our dreams, a lot of the time, where they get covered over because of disappointments, because of things that have come against us before, various stuff, and we've sort of let go of our dreams, and they've drifted away, haven't they, somehow. And we look and we thought, is this it? And yet God is saying, no, it isn't it. Dream again. Gather your dreams back together and present them to God. And let the Holy Spirit of God start to really put life back into those dreams and put his inspiration and his anointing back into those dreams that we've let go and we've just sort of shrugged our shoulders and thought, oh, well, that would have been nice, wouldn't it? But God is saying, dream again. The next stage we talked about was to be justified. Now, friends, I have to tell you that this is a concept that I know a bit about, but I don't know too much. So I'm sharing you what I know, but also letting you know there's a whole lot more that I don't know, and I understand that. But to be justified has legal implications. The word means to be rendered just or innocent. In other words, there are no accusations that can stick to us. Now remember, we've spoke about, I think last time I spoke, that the devil roams around seeing whom he can devour. So the devil, our adversary, roams around seeing what legal case, because we looked at the words, he has against us. And we also said, remember, that God is just. He is inherently just. He cannot move away from his justice, otherwise he wouldn't be just, would he? So he has to maintain that justice all the time. There's no one day he's just and another day he's not just. He is always just. And the devil wants to roam around, he does roam around, and look and see where there's a legal case. Now, I'm talking to believers, okay? Remember I said that there's transgression, there's sin of our motives, there's transgression when we step over the line, and there's iniquity in the bloodline. So he's looking around whom he can devour. And he will come before the judge of all the earth and saying, you can't bless that person. You cannot allow them to fulfill their what's written in their book because of this. And God's just. And that means if it's just and we have not sorted it out, the case stands. That's a bit frightening, isn't it? The case stands against us. Now, we know that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us. We know that. But friends, we do not live spotless lives before the Lord after we become saved. We fall. We know that the blood, again, Jesus can pick us up. We confess our sins. But if we don't confess our sins, if we hold on to stuff that we want to hold on to, whatever it may be, and it comes in so many things, whether it's in a motive, whether it's in a transgression, whether it's iniquity in the bloodline, and we have to consider that. That means the cases stand against us. So I've been saying to the Lord, Lord, why is it that I am so powerless? Why am I so powerless, Lord? And I might ask you the same question. Why are we so powerless? And I believe God is saying, we have to sort out some of the just cases that stand against us. So that doesn't mean that we just have to sort it out. And it can be easily sorted out. We bring it before God, whatever it may be. And it may be, you know, there are the little foxes, isn't there? The little foxes that spoil the vineyard, is it? Those little things that we sort of think, oh, that's okay. That doesn't matter. But it does matter. It's a legal case. And so we need to bring it before the just judge of all the earth and ask him to show us once again the cases that might be against us. I know I mentioned this last time, but God is bringing me back to it. And let us confess our sin. And the Word of God says, if we confess our sin, God is just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that takes away the legal case of the enemy against us. Sometimes we might have to go and put something right. Well, do it. Put it right. Sort it out. And whether it's in relationships, whether it's whatever it may be, something at work, something at home, something in your finances, something whatever, sort it out and put it right so that there are no legal cases. So when the enemy comes, he can find nothing. There's nothing. So he cannot stand with a legal reason and say you cannot fulfill what is in their book because of this, because now we've sorted it out. So I'm once again bringing that back to us to say, let's do it. Let's do it. It's not, you know, sometimes it means a little bit of eating of humble pie, doesn't it? None of us like that, but hey, really, let's do it. It's nothing compared to what God will want to do if we would just get rid of that and stand before him. So the justified is when we have been into the courts of heaven and every accusation of the devil is silenced. He's got nothing. And the thing is that Satan knows that if we get what is in our books, if we start to flesh it out on the earth, if we start to live it, he's in trouble. So he is the accuser of the brethren, and he will accuse us night and day, if he can, before God. He will also put accusations in our hearts and minds to make us feel intimidated and not to step into what God has for us. So once we have put our case before the judge of all the earth, and the blood of Jesus has cleared us and cleaned us from all unrighteousness, then the enemy has no legal standing. The fifth and final stage is being glorified. I always thought glorified is when I get to heaven, you know, then I'm going to be glorified. And I think that that is part of it. But glorified is when we actually step into and live on this earth what's written in our book. It's like your very best life. It's not to say I'm not by any means indicating that it is, you know, not without its trouble. I doubt very much if that is the case. But nevertheless, we are moving in the anointing and in the calling of God that he has put in our books. And we are doing it in such a way that people are blessed. The kingdom of God is extended. We are moving in a way that brings us joy and satisfaction and his peace. As I say, I'm not saying it's trouble-free, but nevertheless, it is that moving in the way that you know I'm fulfilling what God has called me to do. So I thought this would be quite a good discussion to have about our books today. And knowing, A, that there are books. The big book is the book of life, of course. Make sure your name's written in the book of life and never gets blotted out. But that there are individual books about our destiny that God has preordained for each and every one. So we need to come before God and say, Lord, what is in my book? It's up to each of us individually to seek God. What is in my book, Lord? And just camp there for a while and let the Holy Spirit start to speak. It may not be downloaded all in one go, but as we go on, we'll get more and more of an indication of really what is in my book. It's not something foreign that I would hate. Sometimes the enemy says, oh, that's going to be such a boring life. You don't want to go there, you know. But that's not God, is it? God is a God who has put his spirit within us. He's put he's given us the desires. He's given us the vision. He's given us that the interests and the passions that we have. They're God-given. He's given us the imagination that he wants us to have. He's given us our purpose and the grace to fulfill it. We just have to find out what that is and then make sure that we constantly walk. It's not just a one-off thing. We walk day by day that there are no legal cases against us that the enemy can bring before the court of heaven, and then we'll start to see the way open. We will start to see the way open for us all to enter into the destiny that our God has for all of us. Amen.